First of all, an alert from UNC, Alert Carolina report that came down last night says a student was assaulted near Craig Residence Hall around 9 p.m. A man reportedly tried to pull the student into the woods behind the dorm. UNC police investigated. A suspect has been arrested and is now in custody. In state news, new data from the state health department show COVID-19 numbers heading in different directions. For the second week in a row, North Carolina saw an increase in COVID particles found in wastewater, but also a drop in COVID hospitalizations, now below 1,000 for the first time since December. Health experts are still urging everyone to keep taking those basic precautions. Stay home if you're sick, mask up in crowded indoor spaces, and stay up to date on your COVID vaccine. In other ongoing state news, we're also following North Carolina's carbon plan, part of the clean energy bill signed by Governor Cooper in 2021. A key component of the plan is how much utility companies like Duke Energy will rely on fossil fuels versus alternative energy sources. With the latest on where things stand, here's 97.9 The Hill's Brianna Atkinson.
The state's carbon plan requires Duke Energy to make two major changes: cut carbon emissions 70% by 2030 and become carbon neutral by 2050. Bill Norton, a spokesperson for Duke Energy, says how the company goes about meeting these requirements will depend on its customers.
Yes, we want to get to these emissions reduction targets, but it has to be in the least cost manner, and it has to be at equal or greater reliability for customers.
Part of keeping up with these two ideals is a continued reliance on natural gas.
The commission basically agreed with us that natural gas has a role to play in the energy transition.
Duke Energy plans to get rid of all its coal plants by 2035 as it incorporates more renewable sources of energy. But environmentalists argue that this toe-dipping approach into clean energy is unnecessary. Environmentalists like Sally Robertson, a coordinator for a climate change nonprofit called NC Warn.
The gas is driving climate change, and there's plenty of it on the system already. We don't need to build new infrastructure to increase our gas use. We need to put all of our efforts into clean energy.
Last year, NC Warn and other clean energy organizations graded Duke Energy's internal carbon plan. Duke Energy failed in nearly every category. Robertson says the company should instead implement a more ambitious plan for clean energy.
Maximize renewable energy. As much solar, wind, energy storage as you can do, as much energy efficiency, so energy saving measures. Stop with the fossil fuels already.
Norton says the company has to rely on natural gas to keep costs low and power available to customers.
There is no way that we can go to just renewable. It's not feasible for a growing state like North Carolina.
But back in July, an environmental consultant agency said differently. Before the carbon plan was released, climate change advocacy groups hired Synapse Energy Economics to find sustainable means to reduce carbon emissions. The report proposed increasing reliance on solar power and battery storage, along with importing wind power, all with very little reliance on natural gas. And the consultants found that these changes would save customers anywhere from $700 million to $2.4 billion. Norton, however, says Duke Energy maintains these changes can't be rushed.
It's got to be an orderly transition. We need new generation in place before the old coal units are retired.
One of these new power generations is a solar power expansion, both for solar panels and battery storage that generates electricity when the sun isn't out.
We're already number four in the nation for solar, and we're talking about developing three times the level of solar that we've got now.
The company is also looking into other new generation technologies like hydrogen and nuclear power.
50% of our power in North Carolina comes from nuclear plants. It's already carbon free. So you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You need a diverse approach to make sure that reliability stays front and center.
Duke Energy has until September to submit a proposal for how it will meet the carbon plan's requirements. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brianna Atkinson.
Other news, a three-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has sided with State Attorney General Josh Stein in a lawsuit revolving around one of his 2020 campaign ads. His Republican opponent filed a legal challenge to the ad, citing an obscure 1931 law banning the spreading of false information about a political candidate. Stein has said he stands by the truth of the ad, but he also says the law violates the First Amendment, and yesterday the panel unanimously agreed. Speaking of laws governing public expression, discussion. The state house yesterday signed off on a bill that would increase penalties for violent protests in response to the demonstrations following the murder of George Floyd back in 2020. A similar bill got vetoed by Governor Roy Cooper in 2021, but this bill passed with a veto-proof majority, 75-43, with six Democrats joining all Republicans in support. It heads now to the state Senate. Back locally, the Carrboro Town Council on Tuesday passed a resolution denouncing another bill before the General Assembly, the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights that includes a handful of anti-LGBTQ provisions, which passed the state Senate earlier this week. Carrboro's resolution also denounced House Bill 43, which bans doctors from providing gender-affirming health care to trans kids under 18. That bill has been introduced but not yet advanced in the state house. Orange County commissioners also met on Tuesday. Tops on their agenda was the appointment of Phyllis Porte Ascott to fill a vacant seat on the board. We covered that already this week. But commissioners also considered a proposed rule change that would require the board chair to get approval from the full board before extending a state of emergency declaration beyond 30 days. That was in response to concerns related to the COVID-19 declaration, which ultimately ran for 2 years. But commissioners voted 4-2 on Tuesday to reject the proposed change and leave the ordinance as it is. Down now to Pittsburgh, where the Chatham Community Library is marking Black History Month with a display of six jars of soil, a tribute to the six known victims of lynching in Chatham County between 1885 and 1921. Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard is part of the Community Remembrance Coalition, which worked on the display. She shared her thoughts on 97.9 The Hill this week.
So that's part of the work that was done earlier last year around identifying and telling the stories of the six lynching victims that we're aware of, and then giving them a place in our community and sort of honoring their memory and taking ownership of the fact that there were multiple failures that allowed for those lives to be ended the way they were, and the lack of judicial reckoning that happened in the aftermath. So those are on display in the Chatham County Library in Pittsburgh right now. And the hope is that there will be a more permanent display somewhere in downtown Chapel Hill. And I understand that our Community Recognition Coalition is working towards that. I think I've mentioned before in multiple forums how critical the stories that we tell are to our identity of ourselves, to our understanding of each other, and our place in the greater story. And, we know that for a long time, the real stories of African Americans haven't been incorporated into the fabric of the country in the way that they could and should have. And so I think this month in particular is just one where we highlight and celebrate and sort of do a little extra to know and understand and learn parts of our story, our collective story.
That's Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard there. The display can be viewed now at the Chatham Community Library. Finally, we head to campus, where a professor in UNC School of Information and Library Science has become a well-known and highly respected academic celebrity. Carolina Connection's Denise Stroud has more on Tressie McMillan Cotum.
As I arrived to interview UNC professor Tressie McMillan Cotum at UNC's School of Information and Library Science, a young student beats me to her. He gushes with praise for her most recent book and seems to be angling for an autograph. She's all grace and generosity at this interruption. Clearly, she has done this before. McMillan Cotum has won a MacArthur Genius Grant, been featured on NPR, and was a repeat guest on The Daily Show, where host Trevor Noah called her a brilliant, brilliant woman. Though she could teach at just about any top institution, she says she wants to be at a public university because of the greater diversity. It just makes some things easier.
I don't have to do as much work in a diverse classroom to prove why some subjects matter.
Professor McMillan Cotum says all the attention she receives allows her to help those who get less of the limelight.
It matters when I weigh in on somebody's tenure denial publicly, and I always want to be able to be that person for someone because there wouldn't have been that person for me. Or it matters when I highlight the scholarship of someone that is not at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Duke.
But what about the students she teaches at Sills? What's it like for them? Sills graduate student Ikra Javit shares her thoughts.
So far, I love it. I love her, but I mean, she has a lot of fans, so I guess I'll just say I'm another one of them. Like, I don't think anything makes me different there, but I was really, really excited about taking this class.
Though Javit promised herself to never take an inconvenient evening class again, she knew she had to sign up for Macmillan Khatam's course, the only one taught by the professor this semester. Javit had first come across her professor's work outside of academia.
I knew that she's been on The Daily Show. I watched the clip, and I, like, watched it again last week, too. I just feel so cool. I'm like, oh, my God, I have class with her.
And as if all those shout-outs weren't enough, she's been invited as both a guest and guest interviewer for the popular New York Times podcast, The Ezra Klein Show, where he describes her in glowing terms.
She's just one of those people who you can ask her any question at all, and you just get a sparklingly interesting answer.
Klein then highlighted a recurring theme from Professor Macmillan Khatam's work.
There's also one idea that thrums the core of a lot of this, and that is the way status structures and reinforces the hierarchies of American life, of who gets listened to and who gets seen and why.
As her Tuesday evening class begins, the students amble in, arranging themselves in the tidy rows of desks. The clock strikes the signal to start. So Macmillan Khatam rises from her chair and takes the stage at the front of the classroom. Her students watch with rapt attention.
Secondary tier of the information economy. And I was saving it, and I ended up saving it too long because the whole point of...
As for what's next for Macmillan Khatam, she's working on her next book, and her fans can hardly wait. In Chapel Hill, I'm Denise Stroud.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturday mornings at 8:30 on 97.9 The Hill. Time is 6:24. A quick look at sports brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. Carolina women's basketball is back in action tonight. 14th-ranked Tar Heels heading up to Syracuse, trying to get back on the winning track after losing to Louisville on Sunday. Carolina was down two starters in that Louisville game, Ava Hodgson and Alyssa Usby. Hodgson's likely out tonight, too. No word yet on whether Usby will be able to play. Syracuse, meanwhile, is a tough team that nearly beat NC State at home by... earlier this year, but they've lost five of their last seven. The Orange are led by senior point guard Daisha Fair, there we go, a transfer from Buffalo who's averaging 20 points a game this season. Tonight's game tips off at 7. We've got all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Matt Krause will be on the call, starting with pregame coverage at 6:30. Also in action today, the Tar Heel softball team getting their 2023 season underway at the Puerto Vallarta College Challenge in Mexico. The Heels have a doubleheader today, facing Cal Baptist at 11 and BYU at 1:30. They'll also take on Ole Miss tomorrow and third-ranked Oklahoma State on Saturday.